Thanks for listening to season 4 of the Utah Real Estate Podcast.
The most downloaded series in the whole state and possibly the world.
Hello, I'm Steph Scholl here with the one and only Silver Dollar Man.
Also known as Scott Stevenson. This year, we're consulting with community leaders about the future of the Beehive State.
And how you can best secure a house for your home.
Join the thousands.
And my mom.
That subscribe every Thursday for the most exciting hour of the week.
Scott, you know how you're always talking about water?
Yes.
I'm always talking about Murray and how much I love it.
You love Murray.
And this episode, we are talking about a parade of homes right in Murray.
Well, Gordon Myler Construction really thought outside the box when designing the home they call the Modern Murray Perch.
To tell us about this unique home, we have the CFO, Dan Myler.
So where'd you get that name from?
We wanted to be descriptive of what the house is, including the location. But the perch word, we sort of arrived at that after kind of considering where it sits relative to the street that it's on and just the way that we designed it. It's kind of right on the edge of a pretty steep hill.
Oh,
that,
I see.
That goes down. So it's off to the left side of it. There's views to the north, and when it was just vacant land, it was somewhat intimidating to look at the lot because it held flat for a minute on the far right side of the lot,
yeah,
and then it just fell hard 25 feet down or something.
Oh, wow.
Side to side slope. And so looking at that and trying to design a house that would sit right there,
right,
on that right side, kind of right up on the high side to capture the views without getting into where it falls down and trying to design the yard to play nicely.
I'm always amazed at how people can build homes on some lots that I see and I go, nobody's ever going to build on that thing. And the next thing I know, there's a house there.
Right.
And in this case, Steph, it's modern. It's got a modern look. It's in Murray. And now it's on a perch.
Yeah. Perched up right on a hill, really featuring views out the side of the house, which comes into the design throughout that everything orientates more towards the side than the back, because that's the other complex thing with this lot is it was a fairly shallow lot front to back. And so we were trying to tuck the house right on the far right side, but also being mindful the backyard directly behind the house is not very big. We had needed to use the side yard, which is where the hill is. So we've done some terracing and walk out basement out the side and things while keeping a level backyard.
I love how you used the space and took an area that would seem difficult and made it into something beautiful. This sounds awesome.
Well, it sounds like it has a good view out the side of the house.
Incredible views.
Which is kind of unique. I mean, this, I'm trying to picture in my mind, you know, you got a house and now this, most of the time it's the back.
Yep.
And now this is the side.
Yep. In the design, we started with the lot and we're mindful of the building envelope, what we had to work with. And we didn't begin with any kind of base plan and tweak it. This was like 100% designed for this lot from every inch of it, right? Of the design of the floor plan. So that we started, okay, we know the garage we want the garage over on the right side so it's not obstructing the views and so it's on the high side. And then how do we want to set up the kitchen and the dining and the family rooms to kind of feature this side views and this side kind of propagation of light and of et cetera. So there's decks that go out the side and wrap around a little bit to the back. It was very much designed for this specific lot.
That sounds interesting. In fact, it reminds me of, see, I'm from the East Coast, so, and when you use the word envelope,
I remember we looked at a lot, and that's why this particular house is kind of intriguing to me, because we looked at a lot, and I said, no way we're going to get something on that. And there was an envelope, what they called the envelope, mm-hmm. where the house had to sit within a particular envelope, and you had to move it according to however the envelope was situated on the lot, because there was wetlands that ran across the front. So this is reminding me of a house that we had built back east, my wife and I, which posed all kinds of interesting things. But I ended up really loving the house, because the house was designed for the lot, and it enhanced the whole thing. Yeah. It gave it a uniqueness.
For us, it's in the heart of Murray, but there's views and there's openness. And so we tried to just – there's a lot of windows, big sliding glass doors that just really let light come in from a lot of directions, views, and it's not – it doesn't feel like your next door neighbor's looking in, right? It's very open that way, which we're excited about.
And was it designed modern? Because you can, it seems like a traditional home would be pretty tough to design to put on something like that, because it's, quote, traditional. A modern design would seem to be something that you would have used, and correct me if I'm wrong, because of the lot, and it just matches.
Yeah, it's smaller footprint. It's kind of a square house, and because it has the walkout basement on the side, like the front of it kind of has a tall feel to it. Mm-hmm. And we felt like that lent itself well to the horizontal windows that we did, but just lots of windows going up, and the roof being kind of the more modern style slanted roofs.
I think, and that's how many square feet thing. Was this approximately?
I think it's around 3,200 total.
Oh,
not super big, but we're
nice size.
Imagining it's adequate, and especially the way that the decks are, as kind of an extension of the family room on the main floor and of the master upstairs, it's free flow in and out, and kind of enhances the
square footage.
The square footage living in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, portion. Yeah.
So what's your personal favorite thing as you've gone through this house that you're like, I love that area?
Probably the front room. It has massive windows on both sides. We're contemplating it as kind of an office. It mm-hmm. could be flex room. You could use it for multiple things. It's just really big, basically floor-to-ceiling windows there, with a door that leads out onto the decks right out of that front room. I really like that. I think the loft is also pretty great with good views. But yeah, probably the front room is my favorite.
And so the front room, like you, that could be office, that could be living room, and then the loft, could that be like a playroom or a family room? Okay.
Yeah.
And does the kitchen go off of that? Or is it a separate thing?
The kitchen is back. There's family room, kitchen, uh-huh. dining, kind of back behind that. The front room I'm mentioning is right off of the front door. Like,
okay.
Oh, I see.
You walk
right
in the house. Just right there. And it isn't particularly big, but I think if I lived in the house, I would really like to hang out in that room, just because it's lots of views and connects to the house as well.
I think one of the biggest complaints I've heard from people in their houses is the darkness. In other words, the more light you get, the more you feel alive. I don't know. I mean, when I go into homes that are really open and have a lot of light, I'm always like, I just feel like I can breathe. Then you go into other homes, and they can be big homes, but they just don't let the light in. So I love a lot of light. It sounds like this is the kind of house. Sounds like this is the kind of house for me, Stephanie.
Right? And I love that it's a Murray, because Murray's one of my favorite cities. I like rented there forever, and just being close to Murray Park, I love that you're close to like all the freeways. It's just a nice – and I feel like Murray feels like a small town in like a big city, because there's like one high school, and then do you know what I mean with Murray? It just seems like it's a very community.
Yeah, and it's a cozy little street that this is on. It is on a hill, the entire street. So we're building the majority, almost all of the houses in there, and they're all very custom designs to deal with this slope that goes throughout the street. But it is a cozy little area that this mm-hmm. is in. Down below, there's the creek. I can't remember what it's called.
But I know it, because that creek runs all throughout, and it goes mm-hmm. through Murray Park and stuff. And
is that the Jordan River?
I mean, I think that's the West
Side.
The Jordan River runs by my house, and I can leap across it.
It is a very nice little section of Murray, as well as the city itself being very nice.
Well, tell us, how do you work out? Has a garage, I'm assuming.
Yes.
When you have tough lots like that, garages always pose a problem because you have to have access to the street, but at the same time, you don't really want to pull up to just the garage, which obliterates the house. So how'd you work through that?
So on this particular house, we just went with a two-car garage on the front, but we did go especially deep so that there's storage and there's plenty of room. And then we got an RV parking pad on the side. So, I mean, it would have been great to fit a third car, but it would have pushed the house too far down that hill, basically. And so, and to your point, as you kind of approach the house, you see the garage first. And so maybe having a third car would have made it feel like a lot of garage as well. And so we went with a garage door that has like all glass panels in it and tried to have that all be consistent with the front.
Now, what do you mean elevation by glass panels on a garage?
The garage door.
The itself. Door itself?
Yeah. Has glass I can't panels.
Have you not seen that on design?
I guess not. Look, I'm from the East Coast, Stephanie. I am. I don't.
You can't use that for me. It's because
maybe I'm just.
They may well have.
It's because you don't drive Mickey in the nice neighborhoods. Maybe, whenever his wife wants to go for a drive, he drives her in.
I go through the worst places. I go, honey, you're so lucky.
That's why you don't see the new design.
That's probably right.
Yeah. So we tried to have it be consistent with the rest of the front of the house and the general style. It is a more modern style, I think, to have the full glass doors.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna have to go just in my mind just to see that. I'm just gonna drive by and see the garage.
That'll be fine.
I will actually go to the house because I'm excited for this.
One thing I did want to say behind the house, there's mature trees and that's great. And all of the light that's coming in from the side that I've mentioned has these great views is north light, which is a more subtle light, but with plenty of windows, it's kind of nice in that it's never glaring in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're like most people, and as soon as you hear a builder talk about a house, immediately you start picturing in your mind what it is. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can draw a conclusion that's way off.
Yeah.
And this house is a little, in my own mind, it's kind of going all over the place.
Because you can't picture the garage.
I can't totally picture this thing. So I must hands me the plans here. Yeah. And I can I can get a better view. Yeah, it does help when you look at the plans.
Yeah.
It looks like a neat house to come out and look at.
Was this a house that you worked with the owner that already had it? Or is this a house that's like for sale?
It'll be for sale.
Oh, it will be for sale.
Yeah.
Well, look at that, Scott. You might have to find yourself a new place.
Yes. Yeah.
So since this is for sale, I mean, good thing I've been plugging Murray, even though I didn't realize that. Yeah. But I really feel like Murray is such a great location.
This is a house that's going to be for sale. Do people like to buy a home and then say, they kind of puff up a little bit, you know?
That's what we're hoping. I don't know. I don't know how it does. Exactly.
I would be like, this was a 2022 parade.
We are trying to do it like fully sell it furnished.
Oh, so you are?
It's just like what you see.
Okay, I think that sounds like a dream to go into one of these parade houses and know that you can get it with all the furnishing. You just bring your pictures and your odds and ends, and you are in this beautiful, new, well-designed. But I feel like buying a house from the parade, it is cool because you're like buying a little piece
of history. I actually like the names. I mean, not that we had a name for my house, but I'm going to start thinking about a name for my house. because I kind of like
And like
the
when
idea.
You do like parties, you're going to like, please come to
yes.
the Scott.
Yeah, the Scott's house or
the Silver Dollar
Mansion. The Silver Dollar Mansion.
Silver Dollar Mansion. Yeah. He calls himself the Silver Dollar
yeah,
Man.
Yeah, I'm the so Silver Dollar Man.
Silver Dollar Mansion.
Just go with Silver Dollar
Mansion.
Silver Dollar.
But you say mansion, people think you know, you're being, yeah, you're being Austin.
Manor.
Yeah. Manor. Something I'll pick
because
an East Coast
cottage
word.
Is too small for him. That's, he okay. needs to have something more
yeah,
grand.
Yeah, a little more.
True.
What yeah. would? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna work on that.
Palace.
Okay. I'm gonna tell my wife that you know, so that she recognizes how much I provide.
Yeah, yeah. It should be acknowledged.
A quick note about your company. How, you've been in business a long time. Is this you know,
so
something relatively new?
Is there a Gordon that puts a Gordon in the
Yep, life? Yep. So that's my dad.
Oh, okay.
And
so it's
he,
a family company.
Yeah. Yeah. Family owned and operated. It's been, I think it technically opened in 1997, but we really started building in the early 2000s. And it's not especially big. We're, you know, probably, so it's something like 30 or 40 houses a year that we do, but they're all custom homes, primarily in the southwest quadrant of Salt Lake County and the northeast quadrant of Utah County.
So do you guys specialize then in these sort of difficult land pieces that people can't figure out what they want to do on them?
Because we've always been small, mm-hmm. and given my dad's background, he worked as a framer, then as a realtor, then as a builder. He just had frustration in his career with lack of flexibility. Mm-hmm. It's sort of been a hallmark of our company that it's like we want to be really flexible and accommodative mm-hmm. and open to stuff. And so we'll build on any lot, which I guess a lot of builders may not be willing to do that. Mm-hmm. If it's a lot that you already owned, if it's a lot that's for sale in a market that very few lots are for sale in because mm-hmm. only the tough lots are for mm-hmm. sale pretty much, we'll take those and build on them. So we have ended up, because of those reasons, I think, we've ended up building on quite a few tricky lots. But we also have, you know, whole subdivisions that we do and build out, and those are more typical lots.
Well, a friend of mine has this parcel that she showed me, and she's like, this has been in my family forever, but how would you build a house on this?
Right.
And that even though most people can't visualize it because it's different, that you can create something really cool and unique and not a cookie cutter house, but then you have the houses that are more in the nice level subdivisions.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's a good product that we, or a good offering that we have that, you know, someone like your friend could come to us and say, help me out. And we're not super high end, but we're willing to take that on and say, yeah, let's design a custom house just for your lot from scratch mm-hmm. and try and do it at a price that's competitive with what you could just get buying from the next builder.
I just had watched an episode of The Kardashians where they flew in.
Who are the Kardashians?
They're famous, but they like flew in marble.
<You're famous>. Okay.
They're famous for being famous.
Yeah, they flew in marble, and I was like, that's like the high end where people yeah. are flying it in from yeah. a different country. So,
and it is, in my opinion, it's a whole different ballgame, right?
Right?
Like that realm, mm-hmm. it's different than what we're doing. We're doing like, you can choose anything you want. What I find is, for the most part, our buyers have a few things that they really are particular about. And I can't guess what those are.
Really?
Right? One person may be really big into the appliances. And yeah, it's a crazy high-end appliance that they bring in, and we have to get into the specs, and we have to make sure everything's going to work well. The next person that's building a similar price point of house may say, just do nice appliances, nothing imported, nothing crazy. But they may say, we want these particular doorknobs or light fixtures or whatever it is. Or we want it to be insulated and like a super energy efficient house. Whatever it is, each person has their own objectives that are where they want to put their money. And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, let's put your money towards that, what you care about, and not towards things that maybe you don't value as much.
Well, even the lot itself, because I know that when we built on this lot, we loved the lot. It had a ton of trees. This is back east, of course. It was a lot that had a ton. It was forest. And it looked like you couldn't build on it. And in fact, the people behind, the only neighbor we had was behind us, were upset because they thought nobody could ever build on the land behind them that they didn't own. But we had a builder probably like you, had a little bit of moxie and says, hey, yeah, we can work with that. And it ended up being totally unique. And that's what I liked about it, because it was totally unique on a unique lot with a unique house. And there wasn't any other house like it in around or anywhere. Right. Close to it. And I thought that was pretty cool. Sounds like that's the kind of house you'd like to do.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that there are other designers and other builders that can do that. But a lot of times it comes at a
price.
Really high
price. Steep price. Yeah.
And I think that's a strength that we have, that we can offer that without going into that really high end for the design work or for the build.
Well, so tell us a little bit about your experience with the industry. So did you just start framing at a young age, like with your dad? Were you wanting to go into construction or were...
No, not particularly. I actually studied electrical engineering in college. Never worked as an engineer. I just wanted to... I decided it would be great to work with my dad and with family. And so I got into it and... have been in it since. So straight out of college, 2007, I think I went full time and I've loved it.
So does that help though, having that background of electrical engineering?
Not particularly.
Really?
I like a man who's straightforward with this.
I can point to, you know, analytical skills or different things that come, but no, the specific material that I covered does absolutely nothing for me and what I do.
I mean, that's a lot of us that we get our degrees.
Well, you know, it seems like, you know, when you're growing up as a kid, how many people actually grow up to be what they want to be?
Right.
You know? And if they did, it would be about, you know, 80% cowboys, 20% baseball players.
Yeah.
And, you know, a few astronauts. And
I did do an MBA later, which is great. But and that definitely
That helps you more.
But no, it's kind of a... I mean, I ended up in it quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Like straight out of college, but it wasn't something that I had contemplated, you know, in my teenage years at all.
Yeah. But it sounds like it's been great working with the family business.
It has. I'm very happy. It's pretty incredible over, you know, I guess it's 15 years of full-time work and I can drive most anywhere in the valley and sort of, yeah, we did one just around the corner, you know, we did that one, we did that and...
Yeah. Okay. So, Dan, is there anybody that you would like to recognize, you know, that's helped you with this project that you'd like to shout out and thank or recognize?
Yes. I'd probably go more along recognize than shout out, but that's just my style, I guess. No, I think Karen Lazarakis has done a really good job of the color selection, the design, the kind of interior design work, I guess, furnishings, all that stuff. We just sort of put that on her and said, good luck. And she's ran with that and done a really incredible job. Also, my brother-in-law, Robert Madsen, who works with the company, he has spearheaded all of the project management on it. And it's been stressful trying to push and get it all done, but he's done a great job, I think, with that. And
he can stay in the family.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, of course, all of our subcontractors and suppliers are awesome as well. And virtually all of them have been with us for a long time and have done really great work and always love and appreciate all of them. Yeah.
So with this modern Murray perch, what's your hope for the individual that purchases this house?
My hope is that they is the same as for anyone we build for, which is that it'll be a good fit, right? That it will help them to provide a atmosphere and an environment that they can pursue their life goals in, right? That they can spend time with loved ones and feel comfortable that, you know, the light that we've talked about coming from these big windows and doors on the north end of the house, you know, that will enhance their lives, that it'll be something they enjoy waking up in the morning and, you know, going to bed in the evening and looking out and seeing sunsets and seeing, you know, just being enjoying that light and that space, sitting out on the decks or spending time in the yard or having friends and family come over, whatever it may be, that it works for them, right? That it's a space that they feel like our needs are met. You know, the garage, it works, and RV pad on the side, like we can store our stuff there, and it's a comfortable neighborhood, a comfortable home, and helps enhance their lives. I think that's what I would hope for.
Now that you've listened to this episode, make sure to grab your ticket for the 2022 Salt Lake Parade of Homes.
Yeah, and for all you listeners out there, we got a deal for you because we have connections. If you use the code Utah Real Estate Podcast, you get $3 off. And if you're lucky, Steph, you may even be able to meet the Silver Dollar Man out there.
If they could be so lucky, Scott. Just a plug for all you homeowners out there. Remember that you get to choose your title company.
And here at Title One, there's a reason why there's a one in our title. Learn all about our colossal closings
by going to askusutah.com.
We celebrate with you in securing a house for your home.